Well, we are a place of tradition. Traditionally, this is a bit earlier than we would usually get up for a message, so it just means I'll speak for longer. And Sean looks very disappointed in that. No, not at all. Happy. Hey, let's just ask God to help us and enlighten us, because this is His Word, and it's the truth, and it's a special privilege to open it. God, we do ask that You would hide the messenger behind the message, that the truth of the resurrection of Jesus will be something that powerfully impacts on our life today. God, for those who know You and belong to You, that it will be a message that that challenges us to trust You each and every day. For those that have never perhaps even heard the gospel message before, that it will strike in their hearts and minds of what is missing, what might feel empty in their life. God, we thank You that we have Your Word, that we can open it now, and that You will speak to us. We know this. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The resurrection of Jesus is foundational. It is something that is foundational to the Christian faith, to the Christian, as a Christian doctrine. It's mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament, the resurrection of Jesus. And the reality is, if there was no resurrection of Jesus, if there was only Friday, but there was no Sunday, then Christianity is just like any other religion. When the apostles found it necessary to replace Judas, they sought out one who was with them the whole time, and the key criteria was someone who was a witness to the resurrection of Jesus. When Peter gave the sermon on the day of Pentecost, the resurrection was the emphatic point. He says, "You and the wicked men killed Jesus. You nailed Him to the cross, but God raised Him from the dead. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him." But when the Jews caught Paul in the temple in Acts 26, he's brought before King Agrippa, and Paul preached to them the resurrection of Jesus. Because the resurrection of Jesus is everything to Christianity. The crucifixion, the thing that happened on Friday, it loses all its power without the resurrection. The life of Jesus would be a waste if it wasn't for the resurrection. Without the resurrection, Jesus is a heroic, noble man, a martyr, perhaps a fraud who was executed. But with the resurrection, Jesus becomes a saviour, becomes Lord of our lives. He is the Son of God. And not long after His resurrection, Jesus here appears to His disciples in these verses that we read. And He promises them three gifts that I want to touch on today. The gift of peace, the gift of power, and the gift of purpose. I think I got the order mixed up, but the gift of peace, purpose, and power. And you see, the opposite of these are conflict. The opposite of peace is conflict, and the opposite of power is weakness, when we try to do things in our own strength, in our own mind, without God involved. The opposite of purpose is to be aimless, is to have nowhere to go. And I think lives and relationships are broken because of such issues of conflict and living life in our own strength, trying to do everything our own way. and living life with no real direction or purpose. Jesus came into the world, died on the cross, and rose again to life in order that we might be saved from our sin, to be forgiven before God, and to be given peace with God, to be given a purpose for a new life in Christ, and to be empowered to live that life. Jesus starts by saying, not just once, but he says twice to his disciples, the first time he's seen them, peace. Peace be with you. And before Jesus says anything about purpose and power, first, and I think it's important order, Jesus talks about the peace that he gives. And it is foundational of any empowered and purposeful action that we have peace with God. And Jesus initiates the peace. We don't initiate it. We don't work ourselves up to have peace with God. Jesus initiates it. Peace with God. And it's a gift received by faith when we believe in Jesus as our Saviour. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2:13 and 14, you were far away from God, but now in Christ Jesus you are brought near to God through the death of Jesus. Because of Jesus Christ, you now have peace. In Romans 5 it says, we have been made right with God because of our faith. We then have peace with God through Jesus. We have been made right with God through the death of Jesus, and while we were enemies of God, he reconciled us to himself through the death of Jesus. Here we are as objects of God's wrath, because we are all sinners. We are all in that same position. And what we deserve is the righteous anger of God for the sin that is who we are and what we do. But Jesus took that place. Jesus took the punishment. The punishment isn't forgotten about. God didn't say, oh, well, I'm not going to have, there's going to be no punishment at all. No. God is just. Just as much as he is gracious and merciful, God is just. And the anger for sin and the penalty for sin was poured out on Jesus when he gave his life on the cross. And sin and God's anger was equally accounted for through the death of Jesus. I might have shared this story, but a while ago I was, and I won't go into the detail, but I'm happy to talk about it. I'm not trying to hide anything, but I had to face a couple of charges, driving charges, offences. And I was, shocked. You shouldn't be shocked. it was a while ago. It was some embarrassing oversight on my part. And I was pulled over by the police at 4:30 in the morning on Victoria Street. And I was heading to work. And I was told I can't drive anymore. I've got to go face a judge, a magistrate. So I had this little cafe in the city, and I got talking to one of my customers who is a criminal lawyer. And he's about $5,000 up front just to be able to meet, you know, and that goes towards your fees. I obviously didn't have that sort of money, but I had lattes and lunch to offer. And so Pete listened to what happened, listened to my excuses, which were genuine excuses, genuine oversight. And Pete said, I'll represent you. I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. This guy is like, looked like representing some shocking criminals. And here I am. He's representing me. And he gets to speak, and he spoke. I didn't say a word, you know, and he represented me with this online, with this judge and magistrate, and incredibly, I had this charge. The police were representing, obviously, them, and they were telling him what I'd done. And what I got off with was a very small fine, and there was no charge against me, and I'm grateful for this guy Peter, you know, what he did. He didn't pay for any more lunches or coffees while I had the business open after that. But the thing that I am mindful of is that when I went into that magistrate's court, we're online, there was this charge against me, and there something had to happen. There had to be a reconciliation. It couldn't just be left alone. And with the help of this guy, Pete, this lawyer, you know, we got to a place where I left that room and essentially left that court and that judge and that magistrate where everything was, we were at peace. The conflict was gone. They no longer had anything against me. As I said, God is gracious and merciful, but God is equally just. And the penalty for sin cannot just be forgotten about. But it has been equally accounted for through the death of Jesus. So therefore, through faith in Jesus, we are brought into a relationship with God. And that brings an eternal peace. I spoke about that last week when we were talking about peace, the peace with God, which is relational. When we believe by faith in Jesus, that we are then brought into a relationship with God, which no longer places us under his righteous anger and judgment for sin. We then have peace with God in a relationship that is for eternity. The hostility and conflict with God is finished, and we are called God's children. This was prophesied in Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus. In these famous verses, it says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." The punishment that brought us peace was on Jesus. And by his wounds we are healed. We are all like sheep. We've gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Jesus comes amongst his disciples, and today he offers what he offered his disciples. He offers to each and every one of us peace. Peace with God. I hope you've received it. I hope you understand what it means to not be under the righteous judgment of God on sin, but you've received forgiveness. You know what it means to have peace with God in a relationship. Peace. He then offers purpose. Jesus said to them, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." It's a great question, age-old question in life that many teenagers especially ask as they go through high school. And then I think there's this other stage in that they call the midlife crisis, which I'm heading into, I think. Or maybe I've been there already. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of life? Why am I here? In 2017, here at Monte Community Church, we shifted our focus on our mission statement of why do we exist? What's our purpose? In everything we do, why do we do it? And we shifted it too that we want to give everyone here at Montmorency Community Church and our wider community, wherever we go during the week, we want everyone to have the opportunity to know Jesus as their Saviour and to follow Jesus as Lord of their life. And I think not only the church, but even as individuals, our purpose in life should be very much aligned with what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28. Go, he says, as you go, wherever it is, to church on Sunday, into your workplaces or unis or schools, make disciples. Make disciples. Tell people about Jesus. Teach them, baptize them and teach them to obey all I've commanded. And I think that's the reason we exist. That's the reason that we're here on Sundays, the reason we're here today. We want to tell people about Jesus. We want people to follow Jesus, get to know Jesus as their Saviour. That's the reason playgroup runs, kids club, our youth group. The reason on Thursday night we had people here patting snakes in the corner here. Noah had one wrapped around his neck and Lockie, I mean, it was crazy. But the reason for that is that we want to tell people about Jesus. It's the foundation of our priorities as a church. To bless people, to see people belong here, that they would believe and become like Jesus. Jesus didn't want to just bring peace into the people's lives of the disciples. And he doesn't want to just bring peace into our life. While that is first and that is important, a relationship with God, peace with God, he wants to bring purpose into their life. As you go, make disciples. Tell them about what I've done on the cross. Speak about the resurrection, which they did. Live out the truth as you journey with people. Love people. Forgive people. Accept people. Be gracious. This is the purpose of the church, but it is the purpose for each and every believer. That we would have peace with God, but we would live with purpose that Jesus has given us. And thirdly, he says, peace, purpose, and power. When he said this, Jesus, it breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's a monumental moment, actually. It's a moment of Jesus identifying himself as God in flesh. No one else can impart the Holy Spirit onto people except God himself. We believe in God as a triune God, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, with their different roles. And no one can impart the Holy Spirit onto people except God himself. And here Jesus is saying, I am God. He said it before. You've seen the Father, you see me. You see me, you've seen the Father. And here Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. Thomas, who wasn't even there to witness this moment, about a week later, he confirms and grasps this implication. In John 20:28, he says, Jesus, he calls Jesus my Lord and my God. In Acts 2:38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit, it empowers and enables us to do what we simply can't do for ourselves. And we receive a power through the Holy Spirit that enables us to display the character of God, to live this new life. It's not peace and purpose and then do your best. Now it's peace and purpose and empowerment through the Spirit of God to live a life that we are called to live. We can't be an expression. We can't be ambassadors for Christ. We can't represent Jesus here on earth in our own strength. It must be done through the power which is given to us. That the Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome selfishness, overcome pride and ego and greed. That the Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome the immoral sexual thoughts and actions. It is by His power that we can love the unlovable. It is through His power that we can forgive those who have hurt us so much. That we can be so generous with what we've got. Because we believe it's God's anyway and we know that He'll provide for us. We won't be part of making disciples. We won't be part of baptizing and teaching people to obey if we're not being empowered by the Spirit. Have you ever got into a car and put the key in, or if it's not a keyless one, you push the button and it doesn't start? I find, it's happened to me, it's happened with the car I've got now, the little Micra. I've spoken over the last few months about some of the issues with this little car I've got. I think there's nothing more useless on planet Earth than a lump of metal called a car if it doesn't start. It just takes up space. The most useless thing. Even if you put in neutral and try to push it out of the way or something. Christians have power, but we can often live a life that looks like we have no power at all. Like a car that won't start, we can become people that have no peace. Like a car that won't start and it just sits there and doesn't do its job, we can become people that live with no real purpose at all. And like that car that is just sitting there and it won't start because it's got no power running through it, we become people who live like we are powerless. And we try to live life in our own strength. Try to do it our way. So what does it look like? What does it look like to live life empowered by the Spirit? I don't have some amazing, miraculous, over-the-top solution for you. It's actually pretty simple. And it's something we talk about often here. It's to come to God's Word. It's to pray. And it's to say, today, Jesus, I need to surrender my life to You. I already belong to You. That is done and dusted for eternity. I've made that decision. I believe by faith. But today and every day, I want to surrender my life to You. I want to think the way You want me to think. I want to go to the places You want me to go. I don't want to do things in my strength. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what You want me to do. And if we come with that attitude, in every moment of every day, we will find that the God who has peace that is beyond our understanding, who has a purpose for your life, we will experience the power of God at work in our life. To live as ambassadors for Christ. To be able to speak the truth into people's lives in the way that we live and the way that we speak. Verse 23, it can be a bit contentious. And I don't just want to ignore it. So let's read it. It says, Jesus says to them, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it's withheld. While we are called to forgive, as brothers and sisters in Christ, I think the context of this verse would seem to be around forgiveness for sin against God. So how do we balance this with what we believe about forgiveness of sins is by God alone? I think it's been used, this verse, to empower individuals over others, to empower individuals to say, you need to confess to me. You need to come to me for forgiveness. I don't believe that's what it means, and the intention behind Jesus' words, I believe, is this. When you tell people about what I have done for them, when you speak my word, my truth, for my purposes, in the power that I give you, if anyone believes, oh, you can assure them their sins are forgiven. That's a promise. And if someone doesn't believe, sadly, their sins are not forgiven. That's the reality. And they remain with conflict. They remain in that place of under the righteous judgment of God for sin. These three gifts of peace, purpose, and power are not just for the disciples in this locked up room on the first day of the week, but they're for us here, April 20, 2025. And just in these last few moments before we close, I want to just look at quickly how Jesus interacted with the disciples and how that relates to you and me today. I'm not going right into it, but isn't it incredible? You notice that the doors were locked. Their disciples were scared for their life from the Jewish leaders. Jesus appears in their midst. He didn't knock. He didn't have to open any doors. He was just there. One second, not there. The next second, he was there. And, you know, it tells me that Jesus today can meet you anywhere, anytime in your life. That Jesus today can come into your life and speak his truth no matter where you've been, no matter where you are at, no matter what you have said. Jesus can go to places that doctors can't go to. Jesus can go to places that counsellors can't get to. There's no place where you are right now. There's no depth of trouble that you might be in that Jesus can't rescue you from, that Jesus can't meet you at today. They were afraid, verse 19, the doors were locked. They feared for their life. Their leader had just been killed. They thought they were going to be next. And into that fear, into those emotions, is where Jesus meets with them. I am sure that all of us have felt fear at times. We can all sit here knowing what that feels like. Remembering the emotion of fear and what it does to our mind and our thoughts and our body. Fear of rejection, fear of what the future holds, fear of not being good enough. They are thoughts that I have had. And in those emotions and feelings of fear, we have the need for the risen, living Saviour. And his promise is, fear not, I am with you. I will help you, I will deliver you, I will sustain you, I will strengthen you, I will provide for you. Jesus meets us where we are at. He's not waiting for us to be good enough. He's not waiting for us to get out of the situation we're in. Jesus said, I will meet you where you are at right now, and I will bring a rescue into your life. No matter the circumstances. Jesus empowers me. Jesus empowers you to overcome whatever you're dealing with. Verse 19 says the doors were locked. They feared for their life. Jesus stood amongst them. not on the edge, not on the outside, not within earshot, with something to say in the midst of them and spoke to them. And that's what Jesus wants for you today. Jesus is so near today. The Saviour of the world is not on the edge of your life or outside somewhere. Jesus is so close today that wherever you're at, He wants to come into your life with peace, purpose, and power to change you. And it's not a question of, will Jesus do it? But it's a question of, will you receive it? And maybe today, for the first time ever, to say, yes, I believe Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected from the grave. And the only way to be forgiven before God, to have peace with God, is to believe by faith. And the question is, will you believe it? Maybe today we are Christian, maybe you are a believer, and you've made that decision in your life. And the question isn't, will I receive peace and purpose and power? It's, will you surrender each and every day to Jesus? That you will know His peace. That you would live out the purpose He has for you. And you wouldn't do it in your own strength, but you'd do it in the power that is given to each and every one of us. Father in heaven, we thank You that, God, we do not, you have not called on us to be amazing, to be smart, to be wealthy in order to reach up to You, but You have reached down to us. And Jesus came and gave His life. And not just gave His life, but was resurrected from the dead. Oh, we celebrate that this morning. And that in Christ, there is peace with our Creator. And in Christ we have a purpose for a new life. In Christ we are empowered through the Holy Spirit to live it out. Make that true for each and every one of us today. May You challenge us with Your word. And would we not leave here ignoring it, but take it to heart. Turn to You and surrender our lives to You, because You are a good God. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.